Welcome to the NCO Journal podcast. I'm Staff Sergeant Alan Brutus. Today, we're talking about the Resident Master Leader course, and I'm joined on the phone by recent MLC graduate, Sergeant First Class TJ Trent. Sergeant Trent, thank you for taking the time to share your experience with us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Sergeant Brutus.
So aside from what NCOs can find online, can you just give me a brief description or a breakdown of the Resident Master Leader course?
Well, the Resident Master Leader course is a 15-day resident course that was designed to fill the gap between the Senior Leader course and the Sergeant Major's Academy. I think it's one of the driving forces behind the recent changes to the POI in terms of all non-commissioned officer professional development schools. And so what I mean is like we were kind of the guinea pigs in the sense that certain aspects like writing and participating in developing, operations and stuff of that nature are not necessarily historically or doctrinally things that NCOs had been involved with or held accountable for. And so now, in an effort to continue to professionalize the Corps, they started with the Master Leader course, and they're very much trying to increase the professionalism of the Corps, make it known that especially senior NCOs have a seat at the table. They need to be involved in planning, and it's not just, breaking lines in the dirt and, is my grass mode.
So you had mentioned writing. So is that the only thing that makes this unique to the Senior Leader course, or is there anything else that, is different?
There's several things that make it different. I think the writing, the ability, and the necessity to communicate and interact with your peers is also, but the writing is the biggest challenge. When you go and, you pull up your Army, so I go up and I pull up my Army career tracker and I look at how many people have master's degrees, how many people have bachelor's, and in my MOS, I'm a 25 Delta, those numbers are a little higher than they are in other MOSs, but still, when you look at us as a Corps, there's no expectation, really, for anybody to have a degree until you make, Sergeant Major. And so while some do, it's a very small percentage, and we've gotten used to communicating very informally in a manner as we speak. And so that's what the writing is what makes it hard. The follow-on to that is that kind of compounds that is what you're being asked to articulate in a very short amount of time. So you have a very short amount of time to learn these topics and then be able to articulate them in these short answer essays. And the short answer essays are what, in my opinion, the hardest part of the course. So the writing is probably the single greatest factor in the course. Everything kind of falls under that.
And you had mentioned short answer essays. When you say short answer, are you saying, a page, a half a page? What's kind of an ideal length that they're looking for in these short answer essays?
As much as it takes and as much as you can put down in an hour and a half is the short answer, honestly. But what they're looking for is you have to, what we commonly refer to as deep, whatever subject you're being asked to write about. And it's anywhere from 4 to 7 subjects that you might have to write about. So you need to be able to deep it, which is define, explain, elaborate, and provide examples. That could range anywhere from 1 page to 3 pages. I don't know anybody that could, I don't think I, if you could do it in 1 page and do really well, then your skills are really good. But, that's what you have to do. There's no minimum. There's no maximum. I don't recall. It's all about being able to define, explain, elaborate, and provide examples, and that's the key. And they'll tell you that when they go over this with you, and you have a practice short answer essay. And the other thing to remember is you only have an hour and a half. So I was thankful because one of our SGLs was a drill sergeant, and she very well understood how to take large blocks of instruction and create these pitches, you know. So she really helped us to, you know, to get to that 10-digit grid coordinate so that our, you know, our notes were spot on. Honestly, some of the slide decks that you go through during the classroom instruction they're just overwhelming. And so you really have to be able to just keep that acronym deep in the back of your mind and just keep asking yourself, what do I have to be able to do to define, explain, elaborate, and provide examples? And the examples, they're going to help you with that. The examples are going to come from a scenario, you know, from real life operations that they're going to provide you. So you just have to be able to articulate it. But deep is a very important concept and something that hopefully after listening to this, people will perhaps maybe reach out and want to access some of the resources that I saved so that they can help themselves get prepared.
And one last thing before we transition, I just want to clarify the Master Leader course. That's when it goes back to being MOS immaterial. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's MOS immaterial.
I just wanted to clarify that before we move on. How much time did you have to prepare when you found out you were enrolled in MLC?
So I was notified on the 23rd of May, and I reported on the 11th of July. So a little over a month. And in terms of preparation, we can talk about that more if you want to, but I didn't. I just really focused on trying to get the prerequisites done. There's a prerequisite paper that has to be written. And I didn't go into a lot of the JKO courses that they recommended. I tried, and it just, in my opinion, and this is my opinion only, it just was not beneficial. So I had about a little over 30 days to prepare, and what I did was I focused on getting my prerequisite essay together that's due 10 days before you report, and making sure that I had my APA format templates and stuff properly prepared.
And so based on, you know, you kind of explained a little bit of your expectations, how did this course, did it stack up to what you expected, or was it more difficult, or where would you put it compared to what you expected going in?
You know, it's funny, and I'll be I'll be 100% transparent here. A little bit of my background. I'm like I said, I'm a 25 Delta, and so that's a course that application MOS, and you can only convert to it after you've made staff sergeant, and it's about 4 months of civilian industry standard cyber security training, and it's the single most challenging thing I have ever done. It's like drinking from 5 water hoses at one time. So going into the Master Leader course, I was like, I'm confident that I can do this. And they certainly provide you with access to Blackboard, and you can see the what they call the advanced sheets and stuff, kind of understand what you're going to be learning. But the part that made me, I guess, most fearful or most concerned is, you know, how was I going to articulate, you know, all this information that I was going to be expected to learn. And I think most of the pressure comes from the fact that there's in the back of your mind, and when you get in briefs, that, hey, if you do not pass this course, this is the end of the road. And, you know, for someone like me who made, you know, Master Sergeant, you know, fairly early in my career, and I'll digress here for a second. You look at most of the population in that course had 18 or 19 years in. That was the average, 18 or 19 years. And so, you know, I just barely hit 16. So I was like, man, I honestly let that get to me a little bit. And in quite honestly, I think it's something that we need to do better as leaders. And when people show up to these courses, why are we talking about failure rates? Why are we, you know, we know the, we are very aware of the penalties or the consequences for not passing an NCO PDS. So those two things, just not maybe having a full understanding of how I would be expected to articulate all this stuff I was going to learn, and this dark cloud sort of looming over about what happens if you don't pass. And honestly, you know, you report in groups of 30, right? And they're broken down into like 2 15 member classes. You might lose out of that whole 30 people, you know, 2 or 3 people. So what I would hope people walk away after listening to this is it's totally doable. It's challenging, but it's totally doable. And try to just kind of in one ear, out the other with all the this is what happens if you fail stuff. So that I guess that's the pressures and stuff that kind of troubled me going in and early on.
So I'm going to get you one last question here. If you can give one piece of advice to somebody who just found out they were enrolled in this course, what would that be?
Well, I would tell them to reach out to me. Let me give them the link to the materials that I collected on the Google Drive. I even did a Facebook Live that talked about it. I'd be glad to send them the, let them have access to that video as well. The other thing I would tell them is that, in my opinion, I would start looking at the advance sheets for the material and the regulations and start thinking about how am I going to define, explain, elaborate, and provide examples.
All right. Well, Sergeant Trent, I want to thank you once again for joining us and sharing your experience going through the Master Leader course. So hopefully this will help future NCOs preparing to go to that course to get a better idea of what to expect when they arrive.
Great. Thank you for having me.
My fellow NCOs, you can join in on the conversation by following us at facebook.com/NCOjournal and on Twitter @NCOjournal. Put your knowledge to print, submit articles, and get published through the NCO Journal. Until next time, I'm Staff Sergeant Alan Brutus.